The first reading of the day is from the book of Exodus, chapter 17. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Word of God, word of life. You may be seated during the gospel.
The gospel reading is super long this morning, so we're going to have you stay seated. And we're also going to break it up a little bit and have the characters in the story read by different people. And Deb will be our narrator. Jesus, don't let it go to his head. the Samaritan woman, and there's some Samaritans over there as well. So, the Gospel according to John, the fourth chapter.
So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
Now his disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman?"
Now Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her,
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flock drank from it?"
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
"Go, call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband."
"You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true."
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, it is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
"I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ, and when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us."
"I am he, the one who is speaking to you."
Just then, his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
"Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?"
They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying to him, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus said to them,
"I have food to eat that you do not know about."
So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." And Jesus said to them,
"My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor."
Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony.
"He told me everything I have ever done."
So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman,
"It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world."
The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, so in our reading today, Jesus is leaving Judea and traveling to Galilee. And in the verse just before what we heard read here, the scripture says he had to go through Samaria, which isn't exactly true. He could have gone a lot of different ways to get from Judea to Galilee. Traveling through Samaria would have been the fastest, sure, but you would expect a Jewish leader, a rabbi, to avoid going through Samaria, to choose any other route but going through Samaria. They would have definitely chosen a longer path to avoid the enemy territory. So this line in scripture that says he had to go through Samaria, it wasn't about geography. It was about theology. So Jesus had to go through Samaria because God was calling him into Samaria. It was significant. It was important for him to go to the land of the enemy, to go to the land of those who were despised and looked down upon. That is where Jesus had to go. And then when he gets there, Jesus goes to a well. And there's a ton of symbolism in that location, more than we can get into. But one thing that I want to point out is that this is a place where women gathered. Women were responsible for collecting the water for their families, so this was a women's only space. Men weren't forbidden from going there, but this was culturally a women's space, and that's where Jesus goes. He doesn't just go and get a drink either. He goes and he strikes up a conversation with the first woman that he meets, the first Samaritan woman that he meets. So he's talking to the enemy. He's talking to this outcast people, and he's talking to a woman. A rabbi at that time would not have spoken to a woman in public. And Jewish men in general, in that time and place, would not have spoken to a woman they weren't related to. So Jesus is breaking down all sorts of boundaries and breaking all sorts of social rules, engaging with someone that everyone else would say that he shouldn't. And then get this. Not only does he engage her in a conversation, but it is the longest conversation Jesus has with anyone in the Gospels. It's weighty. It's significant. It takes up space and time. It's not just a space filler either. There's those kind of stories in Scripture that are used to signify the passage of time or to move the story along. But this is not one of those. This story is the point. This is the main story. It's significant and it's lengthy. Jesus engages this woman in conversation, and they talk about important things. They talk about theology and who Jesus is. And that last piece, who Jesus is. That's this gradual understanding that evolves throughout their conversation. I mean, Jesus doesn't make a great first impression on the woman, right? Here he is, a Jewish man who the woman knows is not supposed to be talking to her. And he asks her for water, which was taboo in and of itself. They shouldn't have been sharing something. And then he offers her water, living water. So he's sitting there with no bucket, no jar, no way of fetching water, and he's offering to give her water. But then there's this gradual revelation and realization as the woman starts to see who Jesus is. And the turning point is when Jesus shares that he knows everything about her, all her complicated, traumatic history. Jesus knows it at a glance. Remember what we talked about before, that John wanted to emphasize the divinity of Jesus? So Jesus here is revealing omnipotence, this knowledge to the woman. And in that, she sees that he's a prophet. He's from God. So just like that, he goes from this crazy guy without a jar to a prophet from God. And then Jesus takes it a step further. When they're having this really deep theological discussion where she brings up some of the biggest and most important differences and theological understandings between the Samaritan and Jewish people, the woman engages in this hefty theological conversation with Jesus, and then he drops this massive revelation. Jesus says, I am he. I am. Which we know in Scripture, I am is the name of God that was revealed to Moses. And Jesus uses that I am for himself throughout the Gospel of John a bunch of times, but this is the first one. This is the first time Jesus reveals that to a person about himself, this identity that he is God. So this is the first time that is revealed in the Gospels, and it's revealed to this woman, this Samaritan, this outcast, this person that Jesus is not supposed to be talking to, this person who's seen as the enemy, who's been pushed to the outskirts, right, socially and religiously. Then after this amazing conversation and after this huge revelation, what does the woman do? Just like the first disciples who dropped their fishing nets and followed Jesus, she drops everything. She leaves her water jar behind, stops what she's doing, and she goes and tells others. I cannot emphasize enough how important this is. Jesus tells the fishermen, come and see, right? Come and see. And they do, and they follow him, and then they go and tell other people, and those people come and see, right? And that's how they become disciples. That's how it works. That's how discipleship works. And that's how Jesus' ministry happens. And that is what is happening here with this woman. She leaves her jar and she goes and tells others. And then they come and see and they come to believe. Why don't people talk about this, right? When we talk about discipleship, why don't people talk about this story? Women were doing this. This woman, she was the most, she didn't just go and get her brother, right, like the fishermen did. She brought the whole frickin' village, right? The whole village came to believe because of her testimony. This is huge. This is powerful. Okay, calm down. But there is so much in here, and I could preach 10 sermons on this text, but I just want to highlight two more things. One, the woman didn't get it right away. She was confused. Who is this guy? Why doesn't he have a jar, right? What does he think he's offering me? Why is he even talking to me? Then she starts to see, okay, he's a prophet, and then maybe he's more. She doesn't get it right away. Her understanding comes in stages. It's a process. And there's confusion and uncertainty. Even when she does give her testimony, it's a little bit uncertain. She says, he can't be the Messiah, can he? She says, this was my experience of him, but I'm still not sure. She's not sure. And yet she goes and she shares her experience with others, and others come into relationship and understanding and experience Jesus for themselves because of her. Because of her willingness to share even in her uncertainty. And I love that. Because God calls us even in our uncertainty. God calls us even in our confusion. God calls us imperfect, uncertain, and confused. God calls us and uses us to bring others into relationship so that others may experience God's love through Jesus, which is awesome. Okay, the second thing I want to highlight is, who is the woman at the well? Who does she represent for us? She's someone who's been pushed off, who's been labeled as the enemy, who's been devalued, demonized, ostracized, all of those things. So who is that today? What does that represent in our lives and in our world? Well, I kept having pop into my head all week long the drag queen at the well, right? The drag queen at the well. The migrant worker at the well, the trans youth at the well, the black woman at the well, the homeless person at the well. Whoever it is that society has deemed as the enemy, whoever it is who society has pushed to the sides, has said, we shouldn't be talking to, who needs to be avoided, who isn't part of the community, doesn't have the same value, doesn't matter. Whoever that is in our world today, that is who Jesus travels specifically to go meet, to meet up with, to be in relationship with, to engage in conversation with. That is who God specifically goes to reveal God's self to and calls into relationship. That is who God honors and sends out into the world to be God's kingdom. This is so important. so powerful. This story is everything. This story is everything that the gospel is. Who God loves and who God calls and who God chooses. Whoever it is that has been pushed out, that is who God chooses. Whoever we have deemed as less than or unworthy, that is who God loves. And the amazing truth is that we are all included in that circle. Even in all our uncertainty and our confusion, that is the earth-shaking, mind-boggling, heart-breaking truth of how all-encompassing and radically inclusive God's love is. It crosses every boundary. It breaks down every wall. And it is truly for all people. That is who God is. That is who God is. And that is the God who calls us. And that unstoppable, boundary-breaking love, that is the love that we've been given. And that is the love that we are called to go out and share. Thanks be to God. Amen.